From Buck Studio at Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Zorba Pastor on Your Health. I'm Tom Clark, here again with Family Doc Zorba Pastor, talking with you about what's new in healthy living, sharing some down-to-earth advice and great lifestyle tips to help you get the most out of life. If you have a question, the number to call is 800-462-7413. And along with your call, some topics to talk about, Zorba.
Yes. Are pets the new probiotic? You know, probiotic is sort of the new kid on the block. People think about taking probiotics to keep them healthy. Well, maybe pets are nature's probiotics. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to talk about juice guidelines for children. How much juice should they drink? When is it healthy? When is it not healthy? We always think of juice as being healthy. Well, not in a large quantity. We'll talk about the American Society of Pediatrics and their new recommendations.
And our recipe.
It's Cobb salad, but this is strawberry Cobb salad. I love Cobb salad this time of year. Frankly, I love Cobb salad any time of year, but this time of year especially, because fresh fruits and vegetables always are a wonderful thing for us to consume, tasty and good for us.
Believe it or not, I'm really looking forward.
A salad you're looking forward to? Oh, my yes. God, I can't believe. Before you know it, you're going to say, I want tofu.
Right. Hold your breath for that.
That's exactly it.
To the phones now, Zorba, at 800-462-7413, 1-800-462-7413. Our first caller joins in now, a listener in Morrison, Wisconsin. Hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help?
I would like to know the good doctor's opinion of the China study diet. I did attempt going on the diet. It's a plant-based diet, of course, really vegan. It has lots of the fresh fruits and vegetables that you tout, but I'm just wondering, is one able to get good protein and good health from eating something that's purely plant?
Well, you can definitely get good protein and good health from plants. There's no doubt about it. There was a theory years ago, which, of course, was completely incorrect, that vegetarians are not as healthy because we need to have meat-based products. You know, we've got to have, you know, beef and chicken and pork and fish. And in the 50s, it was thought if you're a vegetarian, ooh, you're off to the strange part of society. You won't grow as strong. And there are certain things. And one of the issues were plant products have incomplete protein. In other words, you eat animal products, it has all the amino acids, including the ones that we don't manufacture. Well, there was a book called Diet for a Small Planet that came out in the 70s, and it looked at complementary proteins. So it looked, for instance, at beans and rice. Well, beans lack some amino acids. Rice lacks some amino acids. But when you put beans and rice together, traditional food, you actually have all the amino acids that you need. And so all of a sudden it was like, boing, a light went on, and people said, aha, if you have all different kinds of vegetable products, you'll have enough protein because what's missing here is present there. And that of course, is the bottom line. And we know that vegetarianism is good. We know that often vegetarians are thinner. I think that they may have less heart disease. That's really never been proven, but I think on the whole. But maybe the people who are vegetarians just eat better because they're vegetarians. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just paying attention to what they eat. And they're not eating all the lard that used to be around and the bacon. So the answer is yes, it's a good diet. And the China diet, which was a best-selling cookbook, is a variation on a traditional, you know, on a traditional vegetarian diet. There are some things that are important early on in life that can be lacking in vegetarian diets. Calcium is one of the things. So especially for mothers that are pregnant and children that are growing, that's an important issue more than anything else. But if you look at the right foods, you can get enough calcium. Or if you're drinking milk, you get plenty of calcium through milk. So have you been on this diet, and why would you go on it?
Well, I went on it because a very kind surgeon who had done surgery on a family member's knees told me that this relative and I needed to lose weight or we would be having knee replacements early on.
I see. He said, you've got to cut down on your weight. Why don't you try the diet center? Do you have knee problems, by the way?
Yes, I do. And I think that they are caused mostly by being overweight, and mm-hmm. I do have a touch of arthritis. Mm-hmm. But I noticed when I went on that diet, and we were able to sustain it for several months, I lost about 60 pounds.
60 pounds?
Yeah, and I had energy like you would not have believed.
Unbelievable. Are you still on the diet?
Well, I fell off of it because it's difficult to, because it's more than a diet. It's a lifestyle change, which I think is at the root of really good diet.
Sure, for sure. You're
and
right.
And it was just difficult doing it alone and cooking for people who did not wish to be on such a
cooking
diet.
Cooking for people who did not wish to be on such a diet. Now, let me try to interpret that sentence in English. Could it be the person that you live with was not interested in eating what you were eating?
Yes, that would be my beloved husband of 45 years.
I am so insightful.
Sure.
I am the doctor. I've got X-ray vision like Superman. Did I read through that or not, Tom?
You did great. Really.
Am I great?
Absolutely great. So how do you handle that?
Well, I just plain went off of it.
In other words, after X number of munchies, she finally gave up and said, okay, honey.
We're going back to our old bad ways. However, after having viewed a documentary about the firefighters station in New York City that adheres, I believe it's the son of one of the authors of the China Study books, and we figured if an entire fire department company can eat vegan and have energy and strength to fight fires, then maybe it was worth a second look.
So what'd your husband say?
Well, it was his idea. He's the one who watched the documentary.
Oh, so you convinced him with the documentary. Way to go. That was smart. Who chose the documentary to watch?
He did. He's the one who watched it and said, hey, I think you ought to watch this with me.
Isn't this
the diet that you tried?
And I said,
yes, so let's do it again.
You know what? Your husband's a keeper.
You're
absolutely.
I'm signing on
for another 45 years.
You're just as good as she is, right, with Penny?
Yes, but Penny's not a vegan.
So you haven't been tested.
Good luck.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And for all the wonderful advice and recipes that you share with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate that. Call at 800-462-7413. 800-462-7413. And before our next call now, Zorba, I'm puzzled by this one. The question, are pets the new probiotic?
Well, you know, probiotics are the idea that, for instance, they're often used when we have antibiotics to try to improve the bacterial content in our body, the good bacteria. We have good bacteria and we have bad bacteria. I mean, most of our bacteria are good bacteria. They're healthy. We've got something called a microbiome, which means that we've got all these bacteria, bazillions of bacteria that are in our body that do good things. They make vitamin K, and they also do other things that we know of. And one of the issues is, and it's called the hygiene hypothesis, is that we have sterilized our environment so much that our immune system is making antibodies to ourselves, because our immune system ordinarily would make antibodies to the bacteria that are around us. I mean, think about it. Humans grew up in dirt. They ate dirt. They didn't grow up in the middle of Clorox, which was an ultra-clean environment. And the increase in asthma and autoimmune diseases is now thought to be that way. And there was an article in the New England Journal of Medicine just probably about a year ago that looked at the Amish who have children who are often barn animals. They're in dirt. They're in dust. They have a much lower incidence of autoimmune disease and asthma. And when they look at the way their immunological system was working, it turns out it may be working because it's basically fighting the bacteria that are in their environment. And so a new theory is that perhaps we should bring dirt to our kids. We should stop making sure everything is sterilized. And it might be that you don't need a barnyard animal. We're not going to have a pig in our house with our grandchild. That would be a little too much, pig in the house.
I think you can tell.
But you know, look at dogs and cats. They're in there, their mouth is in there, they're in all sorts of things, they're sniffing areas that I would never sniff, and then they come over and they sniff you and give you a lick. all of a sudden you've got the bacteria on you. And it doesn't bother you, but your body then, with the bacteria, may set up the immune system to fight those bacterial disease. So if you think that probiotics are good for you, if you're going to GNC and other places to take probiotics in your environment, maybe you should just consider a natural probiotic, a pet. Mm-hmm. And that's really what this is about.
Yeah, as you know, Zorba, we just lost our dog.
That's right.
Here's another good reason to get another dog.
And we lost our poodle a few weeks ago, and actually Penny and I drove down to Ohio, 500 miles there and 500 miles back. One day there, one day back, to look at a bunch of dogs, and we're dog people. So, yeah. So, and you know, dogs, here it is, dogs just are not just making your house happy, but they're bringing in bacteria that are good for you. That's a very interesting concept.
800-462-7413 if you have a question for Zorba. 800-462-7413. And back to the phones we go now, Zorba, welcoming a listener in Spokane, Washington. Hi.
Hello.
How can we help?
Well, I've lost my taster.
Mm-hmm.
Last November, I got a typical cold with a cough and a sore throat and nasal congestion, and it lasted for pretty much a couple of months. I am 57 years old in basically good health. I take acetaminophen on a regular basis, multivitamins on a regular basis, vitamin D as well. And then the cold ran its course, and I got another one just last February. And since then, that cold came without any sore throat symptoms. It had a cough, but it came pretty much without any cold sore throat symptoms and left me with some nasal congestion. Currently, I feel very well.
Mm-hmm.
My nasal system seems somewhat dry, perhaps, but I don't feel like I have a cold. But I can barely taste food.
Oh, how awful is that?
It's very odd.
It is terrible.
I like to put the groceries away. It hasn't changed my appetite at all.
Our caller said he lost his taster. I thought maybe he had a hired person.
His taster.
And the person moved away.
That's what it was. That's what it was. You were a king, and you lost your taster to taste your food beforehand. That's right.
The king has lost his taster, but I am that king.
The king has lost his taster.
Yeah.
So, did it happen suddenly? So how many months into your taste loss are we at this point?
I am probably 2 months without being able to taste.
Okay, two months. Right.
I know that something is sweet. I know that something is salty.
Mm-hmm.
I know that something is bitter, fatty.
That's all on your tongue. You know, that's texture.
Yeah.
And sweet,
sure.
Sour, bitter, and salty are all tongue. And umami, which is sort of fullness, is all thought to be tongue. But taste is actually through our nose. That's what we do.
Sure.
A couple of things I would recommend. First of all, you can now get Flonase over the counter. Flonase, Flonase. It does come in a generic. It's a steroid nasal spray. Used to be only by prescription. I would do that right away. I just took two squirts in the morning, two squirts in the evening in each nostril. I do that for a month and see what happens. You may just still have some inflammation in the back of your nose, and you may just have to get rid of that. There may be swelling back there that you are unaware of, but it's keeping basically the odors from going back in the upper part of the turbinates, which would then help you, which would then actually make you taste things. This is unfortunately not an uncommon thing after a cold when you're older. And for some people, it doesn't come back. But for most people, it does come back. But it takes some time. So I just mentioned that because, you know, there is a risk it won't come back. And for some people, we don't know exactly why they're destroyed. But I would try Flonase. I would do that. That surprisingly does a good job, especially since the cold is gone.
That would be interesting if it didn't come back.
It's very odd and very difficult. And actually, it can be very dangerous if it doesn't come back, because when we look at food and we taste food, we have to taste it and see whether or not, you know, it's spoiled or not. You know, you open it up in your refrigerator and you have to know that. But for most people, they may get some or all of it back, especially with a little help from some steroid spray. So get the Flonase, see what that does.
All right. I have tried the Neti Pot, and it has, you know, done nothing. So that is
And the Neti Pot A good first choice. It would clear out mucus back there, but the Flonase will get rid of the inflammation.
Well, I thank you very kindly.
You're welcome.
We appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And before we take a quick break now, Zorba, time again for another installment of Disagreeing with the Doc.
Disagreeing with the Doc. Disagreeing with the Doc. Oh, oh, oh.
The following email came to us from a listener named Timothy, who listens to WPR in Wisconsin. He writes, Zorba, your recent discussion of eating raw beef scared me, not so much as to how you handle the beef, but how you tacitly approved of eating wild game raw. If you could please contact a DNR deer specialist and ask them what they think, I believe salmonella is the least of the caller's problem. On another issue, you often talk about sushi. Could you remind listeners that they should never eat fresh water game fish raw? Here, too, you should be able to find a fish specialist at the DNR who can tell you the do's and don'ts.
Well, this is interesting. You know, we all take risks in our lives, and we make decisions on what we're going to do. I definitely eat raw sushi, and I know there is a risk with that. I eat raw shellfish. I eat oysters. You know, when I'm in New Orleans, I eat oysters. I know there's a risk with that. I eat my meat raw, a ground beef. I know there's a risk with that. I drive in the rain and the snow. I drive over the mountains when there's snow, and I know there's a risk with that. I ski on the ski hill around trees and other people. I know there's a risk with that. It kind of goes on and on and on. It brings up a good point. You know, food safety, it actually causes lots of problems. But sometimes we do take risks. Sometimes we even go over the speed limit when we're not supposed to go over the speed limit.
But you never do.
And park illegally in spaces we're not supposed to park in. And yes, there is a risk in life. Choose your risks, make your decision, and move on.
Did the good doc say something you think sounds a bit fishy? Just post on our Facebook page or send us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org.
No fish in our recipe coming up next, along with more of your calls, of course. Another interesting topic to talk about right here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Tom Clark here with Family Doc Zorba Pastor on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. More of your calls coming up, of course, but before our next call, Zorba, our recipe for strawberry Cobb salad.
Now, do you like Cobb salad?
Yeah, I kind of do.
Yeah, I never knew about Cobb salad when I was a kid. Never. In fact, when I was in college, I never heard about it. I didn't hear about it until I went to the South and went to Georgia and had some. And I wondered if this is sort of a Southern thing. Do you associate that with the South at all?
I think I do, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
And I'm not a huge fan, but strawberries kind of makes me.
You like strawberries. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I like it. When there's Cobb salad on the menu, and I often don't order salads, I will often order a Cobb salad. Kind of like the way it looks. So let's start out. We start out with 2 tablespoonfuls of extra virgin olive oil. 6 ounces of boneless, skinless chicken breast.
6 ounces of boneless, skinless chicken breast.
And you're going to use 2 of those. So 2 six-ounce chicken breast.
Got it.
Kosher salt and pepper, of course. Stuff
kosher
like that.
Salt, freshly ground
pepper.
Pepper. Yeah.
2 romaine hearts shredded. 12 strawberries hulled and thinly sliced.
12 strawberries hulled and thinly sliced.
I like the way you said that. You've got a good tenor in your voice.
So what is hulled? You just take the top off? Is that hauling?
Well, you take out that little stem thing. There's just the top.
I mean, I never heard
you do
that.
It the right way. You've never heard the word hold?
No.
Oh, well, come on in the kitchen. Yeah. We'll teach you some more.
This is a wonderful show. I learned
so much. How do you think you spell hold?
H-U-L-L-U-D?
E-D.
E-D.
Hold. Hold. Hold.
Yeah, of course.
To hull a striver.
Yeah.
That's very good. You could use it on Scrabble. That won't get you many points. But you could use it.
Okay.
One avocado pitted, peeled, and thinly sliced.
An avocado pitted, peeled, and thinly sliced.
1/4 red onion, thinly sliced.
1/4 red onion, thinly sliced.
4 ounces of crumbled goat cheese.
4 ounces of crumbled goat cheese.
2 ounces of thinly sliced prosciutto.
You're so excited. 2 ounces of thinly sliced prosciutto. What's that?
Prosciutto. You know something? First, you don't know the word.
I don't know what prosciutto. And I know, I'm not going to spell it either.
Prosciutto. Come on. Try to spell it without looking at it. Try it. P-R-O. Come on, try.
P-R-O-sciutto.
Prosciutto is like, it's from, it's pork. It is a type of ham. You may have had it in Spain. It's delicious. It's more expensive. It doesn't taste like ham, but it's a cute.
If I ever go to Spain.
No, you can buy it at your local grocery store, okay. Prosciutto. The next thing also is an exotic product. It's called a hard-boiled egg.
A hard-boiled egg.
That's right.
I think I know what that is.
You know, I have to tell you, the phrase sometimes is...
E-G-G.
the other phrase is, he can't even boil an egg. That's it. He can't even boil an egg. That is a certain meaning.
Put it together.
Okay. Preheat the oven. You know what an oven is, right?
I do.
Preheat an oven. It's
never used one, but I do.
In a skillet over medium high heat, heat the oil. Season each chicken breast with salt and pepper. Place in the skillet. Sear it 3 to 4 minutes on each side. Transfer the skillet to the oven, and continue to let the chicken breast cook for another 8 minutes. So you're basically baking it. Remove it from the heat. Transfer it to a cutting board. Let it cool and slice it. Mm. Got it?
I'm kind of nodding off.
It's not that long. To assemble. We're going to assemble this. Are you ready?
Yes.
Pour half of your favorite dressing into a large mixing bowl. Toss together with shredded romaine. Then transfer the coated romaine to a serving bowl. Top with sliced chicken breast, strawberries, avocado, onion, goat cheese, prosciutto, which you will not be able to spell unless you have the spell checker, and egg. Season with salt and pepper. Serve it family style alongside with extra dressing for those people who like extra dressing. Mm-hmm. And guess what's next? The website.
Yeah, tell us.
If you would like a copy of this, because undoubtedly you were in your car, planting your garden, or doing something else, go to ZorbaPastor.org. That's ZorbaPastor.org, or you can find us through Facebook.
You got to promise not to make fun of me for the rest of the show.
Prosciutto, prosciutto, prosciutto.
You won't promise that. 800-462-7413. And back to the phones now, Zorba. Listener in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi.
Hi. How are you guys?
Fine. How can we help?
A long time ago, I read something over the internet about a treatment for cold sores. I used to have them often, and they were painful and very hard to deal with. And during my research one day, I noticed that they were talking about lemon palm extract.
Mm-hmm.
And I start trying it.
Mm-hmm.
And since that time, and instead of getting a cold sore every month, since 2012 until today,
mm-hmm.
I got probably 3 or 4 of them since 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys heard of that before? Is there a research done here in the States about it? Because I have a cousin who's a doctor, and I was telling her about it. She said, I cannot recommend it to people since there is no research that I can find.
Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of things we recommend to people as doctors where there's no research. We do it and we think it works and nobody's ever done, you know, a study on it. Cold sores are really interesting. So I want to go back a bit. You used to get lots of cold sores. How often did you get them?
My first time with it, I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a really bad flu that basically had me in bed for 4 days, almost unconscious.
Wow.
And I had, yeah, it was really bad. But during that time, there was no internet to research something like that.
Sure. Sure.
So after that,
wait a minute. There was a time before there was the internet?
Yes, there
I don't believe it. It's always been with us.
I remember it clearly.
That's right. You had to go to, like, the library or ask people who knew something. Wow, that's hard. That's really hard to believe. So you've had them for a long time. How often have you been getting them recently prior to this, using this?
Okay. I started using them in 2012. Mm-hmm. Before that, there was a certain time of my life that I used to get them every month, at least once a month,
yeah,
during
terrible.
The time.
Terrible.
You know? But I feel like my immune system was low, too.
Well, I'll tell you something. You just hit something right there. It may be that what you are doing with this, with this substance, is you are activating your immune system to basically fight off the virus and keep the virus from activating. And just because there's not a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, that doesn't mean you shouldn't use something. And if it's working, stick with it. Sounds like it's really working. How do you get it?
It's everywhere in health food stores, so that's where I go get it. It's $11 a jar that lasts you for 2 years. And
so for $11, let me get this right, for $11, you can keep away cold sores for 2 years. Now, I just want to get something around you. Do you think that any pharmaceutical company would ever go through the process of getting FDA approval for anything that would be then a generic for $11 for 2 years?
When it would cost,
it would cost them like $100 million to get a drug approved, or $50 million. And you know, $11 goes into $50 million, it would be a lot that they would have to sell it.
Absolutely. So, you are absolutely right here.
Well, thank you for selling us. Again, what exactly is in the product so our listeners can get it who have cold sores? We get lots of questions about cold sores.
It is lemon balm extract.
Lemon balm extract. Okay.
Yes. It's basically, they use it for tea, too, and you can grow it in your backyard easily. But I make it easy on myself. I just go and buy the jar. Yeah.
$11 for 2 years? I mean, really? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you. Thank you very much. Keep doing it. Keep it up.
I will. Thank you. Appreciate that.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 800-462-7413 is our number. 800-462-7413. And now, Zorba, we welcome a listener in Knoxville, Tennessee. Hi.
Hi, Tom. How are you and Dr. Zorba?
Fine. We're both good. How can we help?
I have been diagnosed with osteoarthritis in my big toes. And I take ibuprofen when it's painful, but I was wondering if there were any exercises I could do to help the situation.
How long has this bothered you?
Oh, several years.
Oh.
So you take ibuprofen when you're bothered by it. So just in your toes, not in your hands, your feet, anywhere else?
Oh, well, it's all the way down my spine.
All the way down your spine, too. So great exercises for osteoarthritis, and the exercises really are range of motion exercise for the feet, for the toes, and also for the spine. Do you feel like your spine is a little bit stiffer than usual?
No, I take very good care of my spine by walking and swimming.
One of the things I always recommend to people, I love the Mayo Clinic information. I'm not a member of the Mayo Clinic. I do have a relationship. I go up there. I have a lot of friends up there. But if you do Mayo Clinic arthritis exercises, you will get a bunch of exercises there that are dynamite. They are great exercises. But I'll tell you an interesting research that just came out on chondroitin sulfate. It was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, a peer-reviewed journal, great journal. The research was very well-controlled, funded by manufacturers of chondroitin sulfate, but it was a well-controlled research study. 300 people. Group 1, nothing. Osteoarthritis. Group 2 took Celebrex. Celebrex is probably the safest anti-inflammatory drug on the market. Group 3 took 800 milligrams of chondroitin sulfate 3 times a day. Pharmaceutical-grade chondroitin sulfate, and I'll explain that in a minute, followed them for 6 months. They checked them at 3 months, at 6 weeks, 3 months, 4 months, and 6 months to see how much pain did they have, how do they feel, how good do they feel, and here's what they found. Compared to the placebo group that didn't feel that much better, the Celebrex group at 2 weeks felt better than the chondroitin sulfate group, so they got immediate relief. But at 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, all the way up to 6 months, after that first couple of weeks, the chondroitin sulfate group did just as well as the Celebrex group did.
Oh, okay.
Now, I find this monumental because I have not been happy with the research on chondroitin sulfate in the past. I haven't really thought it really does very much, but this particular study shows that I may have been wrong. Shock of shocks, I may have actually been wrong, and chondroitin sulfate is the issue. But part of it is was pharmaceutical-grade chondroitin sulfate. So the real problem is the FDA regulates chondroitin sulfate with a soft hand. So you may not buy a brand that does very much at all. So
okay.
If you want to improve your spine, there are two ways you can do it. First way is a way that may work. I always say if you go to Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, Costco, if you buy the house brand chondroitin sulfate, they're going to stand behind it. So it's got a good chance of being good. But a better way is to spend $25 and go to consumerlab.org or consumerlab.com. It's the same. And what they do is it's a pay-as-you-go. It's like Consumer Reports. You know, you're paying for good information. They test all the chondroitin sulfate. So number one, they'll make sure if it says 800 milligrams, they test it and there's 800 milligrams in there. But the second thing they do is they price it out. So what I recommend to people is you buy the cheapest chondroitin sulfate that's really chondroitin sulfate.
Okay.
In other words, you get your most bang for the buck, and you would be surprised at the difference between the most expensive one and the most inexpensive one. It can be a monumental difference. You will save money in the long run. So chondroitin sulfate, I highly recommend it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Zorba.
Thank you so much for your call.
Bye-bye. 800-462-7413. If you have a question for Zorba, 800-462-7413. Now, before the break, Zorba, let's check in again with your favorite backseat drivers, the Grammar Police.
Oh, no, it's the Grammar Police.
You're very
Every
good.
Time I hear that song, my heart sinks, and I think I begin to sweat, my palms are going to sweat, and I get anxious because I just don't know what they're going to come up with next. Please give me the bad news.
Okay, here it comes. This particular infraction came to us from a smaller yet robust division within the Grammar Police. It came from the seldom heard from Cheese Police. Here's the email we received from Raphael in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Dear Zorba, I really enjoy your show and appreciate what you do. I did notice on a recent recipe you mentioned the Mexican cheese cotija. However, you pronounced it multiple times as Cogita, which means little limping girl. Instead of Cotija, which is named after a town in Mexico.
You should buy the cheese, little limping girl cheese.
I love this kind of cheese, he says, but love your show. Even more.
little limping girl cheese. That's it. I can just picture what the label looks like. Right? Said you have it. I've got it. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm glad. You know, that's why foreign languages are not my strong suit.
Do you have a compelling queso against Zorba? Enlist in the ever-growing Grammar Police by posting on our Facebook page or sending us an email at
Zorba@WPR.org. And don't forget, little limping cheese girl cheese is delicious.
More calls to come, as well as another interesting topic to discuss. All coming up on Zorba Pastor on Your Health from PRX. The Public Radio Exchange. Tom Clark with Family Doc Zorba Pastor here on Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Back to the phones in a while, but first, Zorba, let's talk about juices.
That's right, juice and new guidelines. So first of all, juice has this sort of pristine idea. It's juice, must be good for you, right?
Yeah. Drink lots of juice.
Right, and what happens is juice is loaded with calories. Juice is mostly sugary calories that they're loaded with. And if you've ever made, fresh squeezed orange juice at all or seen it being made?
Yeah.
I mean, if you get 4 ounces or 6 ounces, they use a lot of oranges. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's quite a few oranges that are there. But the new guidelines that come out of the American Academy of Pediatrics say a couple of things. First of all, during the first year of life, no juice at all. At 6 months of age, you can offer children fruit if you want to, but they feel the juice, which has a lot of calories, will take away from a child's desire to drink milk, which is actually a much more important thing. Breast milk or cow's milk or soy milk will have much more in it, protein, calcium, and other things that juice does not have. Now, from 1 to 4, this is really interesting. The recommendations are 1 cup of fruit a day, a cup. So we're not talking about 2 or 3 cups, a cup of fruit a day. Mm-hmm. If you give more than a cup, you're running a risk again of your child actually having obesity. It is a big issue with children. So we limit it to a cup or 4 ounces of juice. You know how much 4 ounces of juice is?
Yeah.
It's like a couple of gulps. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not a lot of juice.
It's not very much. Not very much. It is 4 ounces is half of a cup, half of a small coffee cup, not half of a mug. Mm-hmm. It is a solo cup, a traditional solo cup of juice. That's the maximal amount of juice. And that's their recommendations because kids are getting too many calories. They also recommend that you don't put it in a sippy cup. You probably have seen those sippy cups.
Sure, of course.
Cups, they don't spill. Yeah. Kids take them with them all the time. They're moving around. They're walking with their sippy cup. And if you have a sugary drink in the sippy cup, that means you're drinking the sugary drink all day. Mm-hmm. Is that good for your teeth? No.
Yeah.
Is it good for your health? No. Is it good for your weight? No. You can fill the sippy cup with water, and if you want to, with milk, so they drink milk, but you should not fill it with
juice. I'm showing my age here, but I didn't have anything but freshly squeezed orange juice squeezed over one of those.
What did you grow
for
up
for the first 15 years of my life or so?
Did you grow up in the 40s or something like that? I mean, that's it. Your mother fresh squeezed orange juice. Yeah. My mother never used that. She would buy, you know, condensed orange juice, and that's what we had in our house.
Yeah.
But getting back to this issue, I think the important take-home message is juice is not pristine. Juice has calories. New guidelines show that you should limit juice in children, not in a sippy cup. 4 ounces a day for children who are basically 1 to 4 years of age and not to infants.
800-462-7413, our number, 800-462-7413. And Zorba, our next caller, is waiting in College Station, Texas. Hi.
I was curious about, what do you know about tobacco? Is it really bad for you?
Of course tobacco is bad for you. So what are you asking specifically about tobacco?
Okay, it is bad, but...
I mean, you know that. Everyone knows tobacco is bad. That goes without saying. Except for the tobacco growers, but everyone else knows it.
Yeah.
But what do you want to know? What are you interested in knowing?
Smokeless tobacco.
Oh, okay.
Well, now, smokeless tobacco is interesting. Doesn't cause lung cancer, but it causes cancer of the mouth and the pharynx and the throat. And recently in our town, there was a teacher, a high school teacher, who was very well known, died at the age of 70. You lose about 10 years of life with tobacco. And he was a smokeless tobacco user. That's what he used his whole life. So smokeless tobacco has a risk for that. Not lung cancer, but for other things.
So, yeah, it's equally as bad, if not more so.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know, to me, my thought is anything that causes cancer and heart disease, I shouldn't be doing. I mean, because my goal is to have a long, sweet life, to remain, you know, as healthy as I can. And I don't want to even dissuade the issue that smokeless tobacco causes gum problems, because the dentists out there who are always listening always say, don't forget what it does to the gums and to the teeth. So have you tried to quit your smokeless tobacco?
Yeah. One time for a year and another time for 2 years.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, in that two-year period, I wasn't, you know, I did it a couple of times in the two-year period, but mostly for 2 years.
Yeah. What brought you back to it?
Cravings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was just so good. Uh-huh. And plus, I don't know. It seems like I couldn't focus as well. Uh-huh. I was having trouble. I would get dizzy more. I don't know if that's psychological or something, but
yeah,
hard to say. I can't focus.
Have you tried the nicotine gum instead?
Yeah, the nicotine gum. Yeah, that helped, and that could keep me up. So the nicotine gum is not really bad for you.
Not at all, and it gives you nicotine. And nicotine, if anything, the focus factor in tobacco is from the nicotine. That's really what it is. So
okay.
You may want to use the double strength nicotine gum. Because it gives you, it goes on and off. You may want to use the nicotine gum and the patch together. That would give you even more nicotine in your body. And then you might be able to then kick the tip.
I was just using single strength, so I just assumed, double strength.
I would use double strength. I have patients of mine who say, the single strength does not work for me. The double strength works. I find that I can get off it because it is hard. There are a lot of people who find it's actually just as hard, if not harder, to make the smokeless tobacco habit than it is to break actually the smoking habit. So
that's what I heard.
Yeah, I would try. You've done it. You've done it before. You've succeeded twice. Why don't you try the double strength gum and see if that
works?
Like
Mark Twain said, quitting smoking is easy to do. I've done it lots of times.
that is true. That is a good one.
But I can't tell you what a great. I've listened to your show for years. I've really enjoyed it, and this is not the kind of show I generally enjoy.
Well, thank you.
But I enjoy your show for some reason. I'm not sure why. Something about your personality and your and the other guy who reminds me of Ed McMahon. I don't know.
Ed McMahon. I got it.
So, I mean, you don't remind me at all of Johnny Carson, you're more entertaining.
I'm not the great Karnak.
I'm happy for the call, even though you compared me to Ed McMahon.
I've lived in small towns in rural Texas all my life, so I'm less like a hick, so.
You're just
it's a big thrill for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for your call.
We really do appreciate it. And now
what?
I was going to say, now Johnny.
No, I've got to beat the great Karnak. That's what I have to do.
Let's take a listener question. This one came to us from Cheryl in Wisconsin. She writes, "Hello, Dr. Zorba Pastor. Thank you so much for your show. I really enjoy your down-to-earth approach. Okay, with tick season here and the recent warnings that this will be one of the worst tick seasons ever, what are your thoughts on tick repellent? Until I just saw some at a major big box home improvement store, I didn't realize there was repellent just for ticks. One had a main ingredient of picaridin.
Never heard of it.
And one had a main ingredient of permethrin. I'm a bit concerned about the latter when I see the warnings about dangers to cats, fish, and aquatic life. But on the other hand, Lyme's disease is not worth it either. Your thoughts on the safety of these two ingredients,
one of which
I think you know.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if you're going to go out and you're in an area that had lots of ticks during the time, you wear a long sleeve shirt, you come in the house and you examine yourself for a tick.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get bit, the tick has got to be on your body for 24 hours or more to transmit Lyme disease. So it's not just getting bit by the tick, it's getting bit by the tick and not getting the tick off your body. So if you're around tick stuff, what you do is you go inside, go in the house, spend 5 minutes or 3 minutes or 4 minutes or 2 minutes, examine your body, and if you see a tick, then basically you take the tick off. If the tick has been on for more than 24 hours, 200 milligrams of doxycycline, which is an antibiotic, has a greater than 95% chance of getting rid of it. One dose will basically get rid of Lyme disease. That's kind of a way to really look at it logically. I don't know if the repellents do that much. I don't have a lot of issue with the repellents. I haven't seen anything that show that they work. We do know that if you wear long-sleeve shirts, the ticks don't get on your body because you're wearing a long-sleeve shirt. So I think if you want to repel the ticks and you're concerned about it, what it is, you dress up in a geeky way. You pull your socks over your pants. That'll immediately make your children laugh. You wear a long-sleeve shirt. You wear a broad-brimmed hat. And then still, when you get home, you go in the shower and you look at your body and you say, oh, my God, I've got a tick. pull it off. If it's been more than 24 hours, get the doxycycline.
Have a question for Zorba? Feel free to tweet us, post it to our Facebook page, or send it along in an email to
Zorba@WPR.org.
Back to the phones now, Zorba, as we welcome a listener in Elroy, Wisconsin. Hi.
How you doing?
Fine. How can we help?
Really, I wanted to ask a question about foods, vegetables, and overall health nutrition. I mean, most people, I feel, are overlooking certain key facts whenever they buy food from either stores or decide to, like, go to a local grower, somebody they know who's growing their own.
What sort of things do you think people are overlooking?
I believe that the thing that a lot of folks are overlooking is the amount of nutrition lost mm-hmm. when you have either the food picked, whether it's fresh or frozen,
mm-hmm.
and
sure.
what companies like actually try to freeze their frozen goods at specific times to lock in more nutrients mm-hmm. and who kind of overlooks these issues,
mm-hmm.
and just what we can do to try to get the best and freshest foods to ensure that the nutrients that are lost, which we need, don't actually get lost, and we
sure.
have better ways to consistently keep them into our body.
Sure. So how do you assure that? I mean, your points are really well taken. For instance, a lot of frozen vegetables have more nutrition than fresh vegetables in the middle of the wintertime because the fresh stuff, quote, fresh, is on the shelf, and it is fresh, but it's been there for days. The vitamin E is sort of leached out of it, and the frozen ones that may be frozen right away, right after they pick, may actually have more natural vitamin C. So how would we do that? I mean, it's a great idea. What do you suggest?
If it were me and I actually had some power and more yeah. control, I would essentially try to build up local farmers, local areas.
Sure.
Schools
right.
themselves
right.
are trying to show kids how to do more agriculture. So they set aside plots in their schools mm-hmm. and they grow it, you know, and then it's kind of just, we've grown it, we've done it, this is how you do it. And then I haven't seen a lot of extra nutritional information guided with them. I mean, there is some, and they do have some areas, but these are not kind of full-fledged nor full-pledged decisions that we need to change the mm-hmm. way our city, for instance, or our state mm-hmm. is distributing these foods to people to ensure that they get more nutrients right
yeah.
off the bat.
These are really good points. So part of the issue is we now have more, if you look now versus one decade ago and two decades ago, we have more farmers markets. That's been a movement. If you look at now versus one decade ago or two decades ago, you now see things in stores, local grocery stores, and they'll say locally sourced. But growing food, I think, is important. It's important for kids to know where food comes from. It doesn't come from a plastic wrap in a grocery store. When my kids were younger, and I have four kids, they were with me in the garden, and we grew fruits. We didn't grow fruits. We grew a lot of vegetables in the garden, and then we sourced locally. Thank you for your thoughts. You bring up some really, really good and important points about food and nutrition that I think we talk about on the show
yeah.
all the time.
We really appreciate the call. Well, before we head out, Zorba, we love it when our listeners post on our Facebook page. So let's fire up Zorba's favorite theme song, time again, for Facebook Feedback.
Facebook Feedback.
First, Zorba, a listener named Lance in Jacksonville, Florida, who writes, Zorba, I just relocated, and I'm wondering, what is the best way to find a good doctor? What tools are available, and what websites should I visit?
Well, finding a good doctor sometimes is not that easy. The first thing I recommend is you talk to somebody else in your area, see whether or not they have a doctor who they like. That's the first place to stop. If that's not the place you find, sometimes it's going to a facility, a reputation of a place. It might be a medical center, it might be a university where you trust. But there has to be a trust element in there. Then interview the doctor, even if it's for 5 minutes. Sometimes they'll give you an interview. See what the place is like. Are the nurses friendly? What's the receptionist mm-hmm. like? Do they want to whisk you in and whisk you out? What's that sixth sense about the place?
Mm-hmm. Next, Sharon asks, what is your opinion on placing sliced raw onions on the bottoms of your feet while you sleep as toxin absorbers?
I don't think it'll work very well at all. And frankly, my wife would think I was nuts if I slept with onions in my shoes. So I would say it ain't for me.
Now a comment from a listener named Sue in Marshfield, Wisconsin. I have a cousin who was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis and was put on a diet of a lot of beans, and she improved drastically. Maybe she was misdiagnosed, but it worked. She went from nearly non-ambulatory to totally functional.
Hard to say exactly what was going on, but frankly, if beans are the cure for rheumatoid arthritis, then Johnson & Johnson, the maker of Humira, which is a $2 billion a year drug, is in trouble.
Okay, Zorba, this one is from Tia in Staten Island, New York. Is CBD hemp oil any good, or is it quackery?
Well, we'd like to do more research. It may have some definite uses for it. The FDA considers it to be in such a bad place that it's like heroin, that we can't do research. And until the FDA finally gets their head out of the sand and says, yes, marijuana should not be classified in the same class as heroin, researchers can't actually look into it and see whether or not it's worthwhile. So the answer is perhaps. Mm-hmm.
And finally, Zorba, a listener named Sarah posted the following about our show. Very interesting and informative, common sense and practical. I love hearing Zorba's realistic human advice, his banter with Tom, and their vibrant laughter.
Well, how nice is that? That's about as
nice
as you can get.
Thank
you.
Let's keep the Facebook love coming.
Please, keep it coming.
And you can always send us...
Facebook.
You can always send us an email at...
Zorba@WPR.org.
See you next week, Zorba.
Stay well, Tom.
If you missed anything during the show or just want to download our show podcast, visit us on the web
at ZorbaPastor.org or, of course, through Facebook.
And don't forget, you can call us anytime at 800-462-7413. Zorba Pastor on Your Health is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's not intended as a medical diagnosis, so please do check with your doc. Our executive producer is Carl Christensen. Our technical director is Brad Kohlberg. Our theme music is by Leo and Ben Sidran. For Zorba Pastor, I'm Tom Clark, asking you to join us on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health, while Zorba makes fun of me for one full hour.
Copies of today's show are available through the radio store at 800-747-7444. Ask for program number 0708Z. More information on Zorba, his clinic, and healthy living, including heart-healthy recipes, podcasts, and show archives, is available online at zorbapastor.org.